Welcome to the Homeschool Together podcast. Where one working mom and a stay-at-home dad help you navigate the nuts and bolts of the growing and dynamic world of homeschooling.
With a focus on early learners, like me.
All the ins and outs of building and maintaining your homeschool life.
Homeschool!
Find out tips and tricks to make things like this easier.
I'm reading.
And ultimately, enjoy educating your kids. And what's that last thing?
Have fun together. Did I do good, Daddy?
Yeah, you did, sweetie. Good job. Hello and welcome to Homeschool Together. Today we're going to be talking about languages, and the best language you know is English. And guess what? All the show notes are written in English just for you. The beauty of the AI bot Matt has written those show notes for you, and we'll have links down below. Ariel has been spending time learning languages via Duolingo, and we're going to be talking about that. So Ariel, guten Tag, wie geht es Ihnen, meine Schatzi? Oh, I'm sorry, sorry. Hola, ¿cómo está?
Mi esposa.
Mi esposa. I'm stuck in German. Go ahead.
So, yes, I've been learning Spanish. I'm on day 157 of learning
Spanish.
We're
very much about streaks. We're people who love to keep things going.
We are. Yes. We can't trust you with languages. You're going to be splitting. You did a little bit of German in college and you did Spanish in high school. I did all French in high school and college, which hasn't come in super handy. And I've forgotten most of now that I'm 41, almost 41.
Almost.
So, I just, one of the things for us is we were looking at where we wanted to travel next year and thinking that we're going to be domestic travel this year for our month, but next year we were hoping to travel somewhere international. And we thought, wouldn't it be really cool if we travel to a Spanish speaking country? And once we decide what we want to do, we could all as a family spend the year learning Spanish. There's some Spanish classes at our parent partnership that our kids could take. And we thought, oh, that could be kind of fun. So I started playing around with Duolingo. I remember when Duolingo first came out and it was only PC based. It was only like web based. That was quite some time ago. And Duolingo has grown enormously since then. I think the real thing about Duolingo that's so popular is that it is free. So it's an app. And
well, there's a free level.
There's a free level, but that free level is very...
So like Canva, it takes you a long way?
Yeah, it really takes you a long way. Yeah. If you want to do absolutely everything, then you'll have to get into pricing tiers, which we'll talk through all of what you get and what you don't. But I think that it's a great way to start, especially if, you know, obviously there's tons of ways to learn languages. There's out school classes. There's all kinds of things. You could get a local tutor. You could do something at your co-op. But if you want something that's a little bit like a game, it's kind of been the gamification of language learning, and you want something that's just app-based and free that your kid can just play with, if you're like, oh, my kid's interested in Japanese or something like, you know, maybe that's not taught in your local area easily, or you're not really sure if it's worth investing in teaching them that.
Because, yeah, learning
maybe
a language,
it's a passing fad.
You could end up dumping a lot of money, especially if you're doing in-person tutors and things of that nature, or if you're getting software like a Rosetta Stone. I remember that being the thing back then. I don't even know if it's a thing anymore. But you could end up spending a lot of money, and you're right. Like, hopping into something for free, there's a lot of free resources out there to learn languages, but like what you said, an app, a gamification, something you can come back to every single day and do that kind of daily practice. That's kind of a nice wrinkle here.
Yeah, I think it really is. So right now, Duolingo, there are 39 different languages that you can learn, which is really great. And I think especially when kids' interests can kind of be fleeting, maybe they're into a certain show or something that they're like, oh, I'd love to learn that language. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a great way to try languages on for size. And I actually used this for probably 90 days or more before deciding to pay for it. Just I wanted to see if I was really into it, if I really wanted to learn Spanish, if it was something that I could learn easily enough, or if I was like, quote unquote, too old to learn. I just wasn't sure how easily my brain would uptake this, as I'm not like naturally good at learning languages.
Yeah.
So
what is has your daily practice evolved over time? Like, I know, like, it's funny, I'm getting the dog ready for taking her out at the end of the night. and I'm like getting the kids all set up, and all, I hear distantly in the, you know, I hear, puedo ir al baño. You know?
Yeah. One of the cool things, you go on to Duolingo, you sign in, it's free, yeah. And then you select the language that you want to learn. And if you've done any part of the language, or if your child's done any part of the language before, you can basically go to the further sections and kind of test in, cool. Like say, oh yeah, I'm actually at this level. You don't have to start at the beginning. Yeah. But basically each level, when you hit the little start icon, it'll be broken up, you know, in either like four or five sections where they'll teach you a couple of new words, and then they'll reiterate and reinforce the words that you've already learned. And the way that they're done, there's a couple of different types for these. It's like they'll either show you a picture, and then you need to, when you first learn a word, they'll show you a picture, and then they'll have like four words to choose from. You just click on the one, and they all have you can like look up the definition right there. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they give it to you really easy to start, and then after that you'll start having different exercises. So there'll be one where they'll show you a picture and you have to actually type in the word. Mm-hmm. Or they will show you a sentence in Spanish, and under each word, there's a little underline. You click on it, and it will tell you the English word. So they'll show you the whole sentence in Spanish, or the couple words or whatever, and you just select the English words in that correct order to make the sentence in English. They do it exactly the opposite way, too, where they'll show you a sentence in English with the words underlined. You can click and find out what the Spanish words are if you want to, mm-hmm. And you select the Spanish words. So if you... this is one that's all about, I think, kind of personal motivation. You could absolutely cheat through this.
Okay.
Right? You could just use it to look up everything and then add it in. So this is something that, you know, your child needs to want to learn. Mm-hmm. So there's those kind of exercises. Then there's also advanced exercises where they're going to speak a sentence, and you need to then select the English words to make that sentence. Or they're going to speak a whole paragraph, and then they're going to ask you a comprehension question about that paragraph. Wow. And that paragraph might be like three or four sentences. It's like it's not
at
a lot.
At the beginning, it's fairly simple.
Yeah, it's very simple. Okay. At the beginning. So they'll say a couple of things. They'll talk about, you know, a family who lives in Spain, and they have a dog who is Italian and works at a hospital. You know, there's some funny things, right? They try to do some silly things. And then the comprehension question will be, where's the dog from? Hmm. The dog's from Italy, right? So there's that kind of stuff. And then at the end, what they'll do is the hardest exercises at the end of the level will say, like, they'll read a sentence in Spanish, or they'll put a sentence in English, one of the two, and you have to actually type it in. Mm. So you have to type in the whole thing in Spanish. I love voice recognition for this, because I don't want to like fumble with fingers and stuff, and I just do voice recognition anyway.
Because in reality, you're not approaching this from the standpoint of like learning to read and write in the language. You just want to be able to converse with somebody
exactly.
When you're there. Yes.
So I'm really focusing.
That's your stated goal.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we have lots of, you know, Mexican food stores and things, mm-hmm. in town, and lots of great Mexican restaurants I want to go to. And I really want to be able to, you know,
try to practice. Order in Spanish. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to try to order in Spanish. Obviously this is Spain Spanish and not Mexican Spanish. And so there's going to be variations, but I figure I'll be close enough.
Yeah.
So at this point, so I'm using the language recognition for that. So these are the different types of exercises that you'll find at one level.
Did you have to change some settings on your phone in order to do that? Be able to dictate in that language?
So what I did was I went ahead and selected another international keyboard, and I selected Spanish for that.
Gotcha.
And then my keyboard defaults to English all the time, but when I open Duolingo, okay. It switches to Spanish for
That's
me
really
on
cool.
my iPhone, which is really cool. So that I have that. So I have the N with the little,
squiggle.
The tilde or whatever it's above, yeah. Above it. You know, so I've got, I don't know the proper names. So, so that would be like one level. It's going to have a mix of all of these exercises, okay. Where you're hearing things, you're reading things, and then you're having to respond in either English or Spanish to them. Now, a whole lesson, I can finish a whole lesson in like 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It depends how fast you can go, you know, but like 5 minutes, like these are short lessons.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a lot here, but they're really not very long. So you can really get through that quickly. And then when you get through all four or five, you've completed that lesson, and you'll go on to the next thing, which will introduce a couple new words, and it goes like that.
Okay.
so there's lessons. There's also these cool chests that you get every once in a while that actually has like a video that they've put together, mm-hmm. where the video explains something like where some word is used differently in different countries, for example, or mm-hmm. or there's different proper greetings in different places or something. And it puts on a little video for you and just gives you some kind of more context, which is really cool. They don't come up super often, but when they do, they're really helpful. And then there's also stories, and the stories are terrific. Mm. So when you first do the story, it's kind of line by line, and those stories are going to include a whole handful of words you have not seen.
And these are stories that you are reading or is being read to you?
They're stories that are being read to you.
Okay.
So, but
you follow along.
Yeah. So what it is it's dialogue boxes that come up between a couple of characters, and it actually reads it to you out loud so you can hear it. And then there's underlines under all the words so that you can click on it, find out what they mean. Mm. But what you end up finding out is that you can kind of get it through context. And I think that's what they're trying to do for you, is you don't know every word. And there's some stories that I did early on in the first levels, and I'm in like section 5 now, and section 2, unit 5. And I still haven't come across some of those words.
Oh, wow.
So they put in words that are purposely, you don't know, but they give you the clues to it. And they're trying to see if you can listen well enough and you can get from context what's going on. And they're all funny. The stories are all
almost nonsensical, a little bit absurd.
No. They always have like a sarcastic twist. Like, for example, the last story that I did, it was about a little boy. He comes home and he meets this woman, and she's his dad's girlfriend. And he goes, "You're not Maria." And she's like, "No, you know, your dad's in the bathroom. We were getting ready to go out. I'm this girl." And she's like, "Is Maria here often?" And the boy's like, "Oh yeah, Maria's here all the time. And dad loves to talk late into the night with Maria, but I don't really care for her. But dad, he loves her." And she's like, "Oh my God, he loves her." So the girlfriend thinks he's got two ladies, right? And so she ends up storming out. The dad gets out of the bathroom, and Maria is a parrot. And so, right? So it's always like that. Like, there was one where a girl goes to the airport and she wants to buy a ticket for two to Spain with her boyfriend. And the ticket agent's like, "Okay, great. Where's your boyfriend?" She goes, I don't have a boyfriend." But so the whole thing was her buying this ticket. You know, "I want to go to Spain. Which city?" And then going back and forth for me and my boyfriend. And eventually he goes, "Okay, what's his name?" She goes, "Oh, I don't have one. Are you busy?" You know, so she was hitting on the gate agent. So there's like, they always have some kind of
humor.
A humorous aspect to these stories. And you can look back through the stories too.
Well, with humor, you get a little bit of the subtle context. You get kind of a distortion of the language that's being meant in multiple ways and stuff. So that's kind of a funny way that they choose that. Humor has kind of like a lot of layers to it. And mm-hmm. so in order to pick up those layers, it adds complexity to the language. It makes you think a little bit more in the language. That's kind of an interesting way to approach that.
Right.
So with respect to, you've talked about pricing. You said there's this wonderful free option. Obviously it's never free. What is the cost of free? Is it ads? Is it you're watching things or can you only do so much in a day? What is it?
No. So it's, well, there's a couple of things. It's hearts. So okay. You'll have a few hearts a day, which are basically,
I love collecting hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. These are basically mistakes.
Okay.
So there's going to be so many mistakes that you can make before your hearts reset. And I actually, I think that they might, I don't think it's a whole day. I think they actually reset like a few hours later. You'll get a couple more. But basically, it's gating how much you can learn with making mistakes.
Gotcha.
At some point, they're going to, you make 4 mistakes or something, it's going to cut you off. So there's that. There's also, when you complete levels and things, you get these gems. You get like 5 gems or whatever. And for every level that you finish, when you finish it, you can go back and do the legendary level, which costs like 80 gems to do. And then when you do that, you get a bunch of experience points for it. And of course, there's like leaderboards where, you know, you're in the Emerald League and you want to be promoted to the Amethyst League. And it's like you and, you know, 20 or 30 other people.
And these are real people.
These are real people that are also doing it. So right now I am in Emerald League and I'm just below my promotion zone because I've been busy lately. And it shows the usernames of people and how many experience points they have. And so there's nothing happens if you don't go up or down on this leaderboard. Like,
sure.
it literally means nothing, right? Okay. But it's something that it's kind of it puts this little competition aspect into it that you like want to stay up high on the leaderboard. And you can only do so much with your, like the regular lessons get only like, let's say 10 experience points, but getting legendary, doing the legendary thing, that costs you 80 gems. That gets you
even more.
That gets you like 40 experience points, right? So it's worth a lot more. There are things where I think there are some, you know, you'll definitely have to make sure in-app purchases are turned off, because there are some things about like you can buy more gems if you want to. But really, we'll talk about the pricing of Duolingo for the year. It's way cheaper to just buy Duolingo than to worry about doing this. So there is some game aspects here. I mean, know that. It's obviously a very powerful free product that they have to make money with somewhere. Yeah. So I don't really fault them for it, but just know if your child's on it and in-app purchases aren't turned off, that, you know, this could happen. They also have this this place where outside of lessons, you can actually work on different things. Like you can work on your mistakes. You can work on just speaking exercises, just listening exercises. You can review your stories that you've already done. So the story review, everything costs a little bit, right? Sure. To do these extra exercises. If you want to just go through the levels and if you want to test this out, and that's what I did, right? I wanted to test this out. Like, how much could I do for free? Was I really going to put the effort into it? Mm-hmm. Did I want to continue learning? And if I did, then I'd go for the paid subscription. But if not, you know, and so if it's a really great way, I think, to gauge your child's interest. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we haven't tried this with our daughter yet because she's struggling with reading in English. And so we're not going to add this at this point, because you definitely do need to be able to read, because that's how the information's getting to you. There's a lot of audio here, but you've got to be able to read as well in English.
Now, with respect to a child using this, is this a mobile thing, or can they use it on the desktop? Do you know, like through like a web app? That would be my biggest question. Is like, how do I put my kid in front of Duolingo? Obviously, we have tablets and stuff. So
right. So they have both. They have the mobile app and they have web.
There's a web login as well.
Okay. Yeah. So you can do that if that's what you would like to do. And it syncs with your app. So yeah, if you want to have a Chromebook or something set up for your student and you just put Duolingo on there, because and that would be us when we do this. And if we decide that we're going to go to a Spanish speaking country next year or even the year after, this is what we would do for our daughter. I'd probably just put it on a Chromebook for her where I can easily control it, and because she doesn't have a phone or anything like that. And I wouldn't want to give her an iPod Touch or something to use. I wouldn't want to give her like because we have a couple old iPhones we were talking about. Oh, we could scale it down, but you know, it's always going to have web browsing. And I'd rather just give her something that I could lock down.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the Duolingo costs.
Yes.
Okay. So the premium is called Super Duolingo. And it's $6.99 for the month in the U.S. So there's also, though, a family plan, which is, I think, the real way to go. And if we do this, we'll sign up for the family plan. So the cool thing is the family plan is like a club. It's you with there's up to you and five other people. So up to six of you. They don't have to be your family. They could be your friends. And they even put that on the family membership thing. Okay. Like, this could be your friends. It doesn't have to be your family. So Super Duolingo Family is $120 for the whole year. So $10 a month, and you get six people on it.
That's really nice. If you think about like a family plan or even a friends and family plan.
Right. So I can imagine that our daughter, as she gets to the next age, we might have a couple other families that all want to do Duolingo. I mean, it's...
You guys can split the cost.
It's insanely cheap. So as I'm looking here at the things that come with the family plan or Super Duolingo are the same as far as what you get with them. And as I'm seeing here, it says it's ad-free. So this is reminding me, it's been a while since I had this, that at the end of your lesson... I think that there is... On the free plan, there is a small ad. And I forgot about that. But it's not a...
You've been paying for it for so long.
Yeah, I know. I apologies, guys. It's a really short ad, though. And it's... I want to say there's no sound with it. Like, it's... Okay. They're very short.
Is it a Duolingo ad or is it someone else?
No, it's something else. And
like,
so there...
Like a game or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, so there is an ad. So I... My apologies, everybody. I have had Super Duolingo for a while and I didn't remember. But yes, there is a small ad at the end. So that's, I guess, another reason why supervising your kids with this would be really important, because there is an ad with it at the end. So what you get with Super is you get, with family or regular, you get the unlimited hearts. So you can practice as long as you want. There's no ads on at the end of your practice, at the end of your practice experience. And you get complete access to the practice hub, which has got all of those exercises for speaking and working on your mistakes and listening and whatever mm-hmm. thing you think you want to practice most on. And you can practice as much as you want. And it learns based on the stuff that you're getting wrong. Mm-hmm. You also have unlimited attempts at all the legendary levels. There's also some timed challenges that you can get experience points from, where you're like quickly matching words back and forth. So, and you have to do them in a certain timeline. Some of them are a little hard to mm-hmm. like when you get to they're like three challenges. We get to the third challenge. It's quite hard to really like get there in the timeline, but those give you lots of experience points, which move gotcha. You up the rankings and all that stuff. If I'm kind of competitive, I kind of care about these stupid rankings. I don't know why. So there's all of that that helps you. And of course it tracks your streak of, you know, how much you do in a row. The other thing that I think is really interesting, and they haven't offered this to everyone, it's still in beta, but I'm very interested in Duolingo Max. So it's going to be an extra cost above Duolingo Super, but what it's going to do is it's going to use ChatGPT-4 to have conversations with you based
in the language.
In the language, wow. Based on the level that you're at. And I think that's going to be a game changer. So at this time, Duolingo Max is still like an invite thing. So you mm-hmm. have to be a super member and then you get the invitation. I haven't gotten an invitation yet. They're slowly rolling it out. So I haven't gotten that yet, but I think that when I get it, I definitely will pay for it. Because right now I'm paying like $7 a month to learn a language, which is like almost nothing. If I had to pay 10, it's like fine. And especially if you can upgrade
something
a family.
You're using every day as well.
It is. And something you can upgrade your family plan to at some point. Mm-hmm. So I think it could be really affordable. But the idea that we could have conversations in the language, I think would really... I mean, those conversations are going to be text-based, obviously. But we could respond with microphone.
But they may...
Should be something.
They may roll out in text-to-speech option. And have it read to you. I mean,
I think this is only going to get better.
Yeah, right.
You know,
the future of language learning is going to be... very dynamic. I have a good question for you. A lot of times with learning languages, you need to have a lot of repetition. The leveling matters. So does the leveling kind of move dynamically with your capability, or is like the next lesson just another set of words and a little bit more capability? Are you able to kind of go back and review things? Like,
so I can go back and
how
review.
How do they test mastery is kind well, of my
I,
question.
I think it's a matter of the words that they've taught you. They keep bringing them up. So each section, when you learn something new, you're only learning like four new words uh-huh. and there's 20 exercises. So they're pulling in all the words from before. This is one of those areas where I like having Super and I can do that practice because it's mm-hmm. going to practice on all kinds of different words. So gotcha. Yeah, it's a set instruction path. Mm-hmm. It definitely isn't dynamically changing. But it's just bringing those words up over and over and over again so that you clearly see them as using them in stories. And so you're getting all of that.
And you're hearing it being read to you and all that. Well, that's really
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. So according to a language study that was done in 2022, Duolingo learners who complete all five units of Spanish or French courses, they perform as well on reading and listening tests as students who have completed four semesters of university language.
Wow, that's really cool.
So I think...
Two years of university study.
Right. So an average of 34 hours of Duolingo is equivalent to a full university semester of language education.
Okay.
So I think that if you're trying to, like, especially if you want something low cost, there's a lot of expensive tutoring options stuff. But if you want something low cost to study on your own, to try to get ready, you know, you have a high schooler, you want to get ready for like an AP exam. I mean, nearly every college now wants some sort of foreign language.
But if you're trying to put together a unit study as like an element of like your composition work and your math and your history and all science and all that stuff, and you have your language requirements, Duolingo could be just a nice, simple thing to bolt in. Hey, practice your Duolingo for 15, 20 minutes. How much time do you invest in this on a daily basis?
So I would say that I'm in the like 10 to 15 minute category.
And you find that to be adequate?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I don't have a, I'm not trying to prep for an AP exam or something, sure, you know, sure. So it's not like I'm trying to max out and get as much as I can. I'm just trying to learn more words, speak as much as I can. And it's looking at your speaking, your pronunciation, which I really like. And I'm just trying to...
How are those rolling R's, Ariel?
Oh gosh, I'm terrible at them because of French. Just, it ruined me. But yeah, so I just want to, you know, I just want to be able to talk to, you know, Spanish speakers. And if we go on a trip, I want to feel confident that I can use it. I don't think anyone's gaining ultimate fluency through Duolingo. And they're not purporting that you would. But I think it definitely gives us an opportunity to learn a lot for free or for very low cost, I think, to explore different languages. And when you get that super plan or whatever, or family plan, it's not saying you're not buying super Spanish. You're just buying super Duolingo. You could study three different languages if you wanted to.
Oh, that's right.
If you've got a child who wants
to... So they don't limit you to a language.
No, if you've got a child who wants to explore a bunch of different things, I think I still have a French module.
On this family friends plan, somebody could be learning Spanish, another one's learning French, another one's learning Japanese.
Right. That's or really cool. You have one kid who wants to dabble in three languages, and so you just have a regular super subscription just like I do. They could dabble in a few different languages.
Do they have ASL as one of the languages?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, I was just wondering.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But I could check that. But yeah, so it's I think it's really a great way to explore if your child's interested in learning a language and they're already reading and they want something that they can practice independently. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. You don't have to do a tutor.
Are there tests and assessments at the end of lessons?
At the very end of a section or a unit, I guess, there is a test, like a summative, but it's the same exercises you've been doing. Gotcha. It's just longer. Okay. Same type of stuff though.
Do you get a report from that? Like I'm thinking like in terms of parents being able to print things off to show, okay, they got an 80% on this assessment.
No, I don't think so. Okay. It tells you when you get to the end, but no, not in the same way. I think.
But that data is stored somewhere.
So there's some statistics that I have, but it's just how many experience points I've earned and stuff. It's not
the high level game concepts with it.
Yeah, it's not what you would want to see as far as records go.
Okay.
I think the way to really use this is to have students be able to learn independently, explore different languages they might be interested in, even if it's not taught in your local area. Mm-hmm. And then if it becomes something that they're really into, you want to try to get them either, I have a friend who's learning Spanish and she has a Zoom call with a woman in Mexico every week. And that's a language tutor. And she talks with her every week and has been doing it for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's how she is becoming fluent. And then ultimately, you're going to have to do some sort of test.
Yeah, I like how you're saying this is an exploratory thing. Get some feel. Find if you like this language.
Sure.
If you like it, then great. Let's go to Barnes & Noble and get like a Spanish, you know, curriculum thing, or buy something on Amazon or whatever that you guys can do together and that has assessments, and then maybe you even do Duolingo on top of it or something like that. Maybe, if you're trying to like put it together in like a curriculum.
Maybe you can find assessments online somewhere.
That's right.
That you can take. And I haven't looked into that. That's something that we probably should check into when our daughter starts this too, is what kind of assessments can we find?
Yeah.
I mean, you could always sit there with them when they take the last assessment of that section and then record the results. That would be a very easy way to do an assessment informally if you don't have to provide a record to anyone. But if you want to essentially like prove that they did this for high school credit or something, you're gonna have to find a different way, and it might be through preparing them for an exam. And then they would take that, and depending on, you know, what kind of score they got on the exam, they could get equivalency that way. Or there's got to be some ways to test knowledge.
Do they do a lot of like vocabulary stuff? Like, because that's, for me, with Spanish or learning any language, it's heavy on the vocabs and then conjugating verbs. Mm-hmm. And then that was your main focus. And then you just practice grammar within there.
Yep.
And then
essentially
that tends to be how, I'm not saying that's the best way to teach a language, but I'm telling you, that's like most books that I've seen do something of that form.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, essentially that's the case.
That's the case. Okay, cool.
Yep.
So what is your final assessment on Duolingo? Is it worth it? It sounds like you like it.
I think it's totally worth it. Even if it was just for me, I'm paying $7 a month right now, and I'm very happy with the quality of what I get. Without the ads, you can, you know, burn through lessons really quickly. It's kind of coming back to me now that we're talking about it, that I would have to wait for that 10-second or 20-second ad to be done to then do my next thing. And you can make as many mistakes as you want. You can practice. I think it's $7 a month. And if you have anyone else who wants to do it and want to get the $10 a month family plan, I think that is a steal.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got a couple other kids at your co-op or whatever, and you want to share the cost.
Or if you have a small co-op and you guys want to kind of, you have a language class and everybody's doing Duolingo, you all share that cost. That's great.
Right. I think it could be a great option. It is especially great to help explore, you know, with your learner, especially, I mean, since there are, you know, upsells and there are ads and things, you got to be there. But if you have an old enough learner, they can do it independently to just explore and see what they might be interested in. Because, you know, for a while, our daughter was like, oh, I could do Chinese. And we were like, that's going to be a tough one.
It's a tough one.
But, you know, through this, she could explore and figure that out. And that's a whole different layer because of the difference in characters and things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great. I think it's super accessible. It's pretty fun. I've kept with it. And I think if you're interested in dabbling with a foreign language, it's a great place to start. Thanks so much for joining us today and making us a part of your homeschool journey. Please engage with us on social media. Join our Homeschool Together podcast group on Facebook and find us at Homeschool Together Podcast on Instagram. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions, and recommendations. Until next time.
Happy homeschooling!